All right. Good morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that we can serve our Savior together and glad that we can gather together as body of Christ, spend the next hour and a half to turn our focus upward and make much of our worthy Savior. Welcome to those of you joining us online. We're thankful for that. Welcome to any visitors that are here with us today. We're thankful that you're here and you can enjoy the service with us. If you have not done so already, please stop by the Connect table right on the other side of this wall. There's a mug there. You can keep that as your gift. Inside the mug is a Connect card. If you can fill that out, drop it into the basket, and we'll look forward to connecting with you a little bit more later on. We're looking forward to Pastor and Sherry returning this week. We're thankful for their sabbatical, thankful that they were able to get away, and we're looking forward to hearing how the Lord worked in their lives during this time. Looking forward to hearing many stories about what they've been able to do and how they've grown closer to the Lord during this time. Also want to say most of them are gone. Thank you to staff for being here this summer as on behalf of the church. We love that you're here. We love that you are able to be a part of our church family, and we welcome you back. We want you to come back. If you're driving through, stop by the church, visit, and we'd love to catch up with you a little bit more later on in life as the Lord directs you to our way. We normally don't decorate like this, so if you have not gotten to the point where you realize we got VBS this week, we're looking forward to that. That'll be tonight through Thursday evening, so children are welcome. Please invite your kids to be here and enjoy that time there. And to get more details about what's happening this week, I believe that Ranger Joe is going to come and tell us a little bit more about what's going on.
All right. Well, I'm so excited for VBS to start tonight. Hope your kids can come out. We can invite some friends. And we continue to think about how we're going to magnify God and all of His creation. Also, Thursday night is a little bit of a community outreach event that we're doing as well. We're going to have some stuff outside, some hot dogs and some different things for the kids. So we would love for you guys as a church community to come out and support us that way as well. Thank you.
If you guys want to stand, we're going to sing together this morning. As a way to prepare our hearts, I'm going to read from Romans 8. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So as we sing this first song, let's rejoice in the fact that our righteousness is bought by Christ, and bought in such a way that it could never be fulfilled by the law or ourselves. It's in Christ alone that we have this salvation, and we have great hope in that.
My strength, my soul, this cornerstone.
then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, his birth at last his grip on me,
but it's one we've been singing out at camp for the last few weeks, and it's just a sweet and simple declaration of the truth that we believe. So I invite you guys to sing along with us as you learn it.
You've been unchanging. Thank you. Good morning. I've been looking around at these decorations, and I've been looking for a pond so I could maybe cast a line or two. But we got an awesome God. He created all this beauty, and He loves us so much that He wants to call us to call Him Father. And it's just such a blessing to be able to go to a God who created the whole universe and call Him Father. And you know, our motto is we want to make disciples and send disciples throughout the world. And we want to teach them about Christ and make Christ known. But God has a way, His own way. He does things His way, not our way. Sometimes He brings these people to us. And it's a blessing that we here in this room can enjoy that same work that God has called us to right here in this room. I would like to meet with some of you next Sunday after church and discuss some things that we can do as disciples here in our own community to people that are in need. So we can do that next Sunday. So let's go to the Father in prayer. God, it is so humbling to be Your Son and to be used by You. It's such a blessing. Thank You, though, for those who have helped as well. God, it's a call that You've given us to share our love, the love that You give to us. And God, we thank You for that ministry. We thank now Pastor and Sherry, are they away? We just pray, Lord, that You encourage them and strengthen them and replenish them. And God, help them to know that we've carried on while they were away. That Your Holy Spirit has guided and directed us to do that which You've called us to do. And we just think now of those who are ill and can't be with us. We just pray, God, that You would put Your hand upon them. Those who are unable to be here, who can watch, we just thank You for them. God, we thank You for Michael. We just pray that You would be with him as he brings forth the word now. And just open our eyes, our ears to hear You and apply what He has to say in Your word. Because we thank You in Christ's name. Amen.
In Your unfailing love, You will lead the people You have redeemed. In Your unfailing love, You will lead the people You have redeemed. In Your strength, You will guide. Your home.
Exodus 15:13.
Good morning. It is incredible joy to be here, but also incredible and trembling experience as we faithfully receive the word Sunday by Sunday through this pulpit. But also I appreciate those that led us through worship. As we are singing and recite the truths of the word of God, we exhort one another. But also, I've for many years been so incredible, encouraged by those who pray for us, and just the sincerity of Ray as he prayed for us this morning to hear and to see this God that saves. So as we are listening and studying the parables, I ask you to invite you to open to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. The parable itself is verses 28 to 32, but we're going to read verses 23 to 32 to see the setting up of this story. We see there's a lot of tension in this story. There's a lot of exposition in the story that will help us to understand the parable more and more. Matthew 21, verse 23 says, "And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him, and he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I'll tell you, by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did he come? From heaven or from men?' And they discussed among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then do you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid the crowd, for the all hold that John was a prophet.' So they answered to Jesus, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you, but what authority I'll do these things.'" So here Jesus is telling us a parable. "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in a vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said to the same, 'Son, go and work the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father, of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of the righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, it did not afterward change your minds and believed in him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we now have your book open, also we ask you that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts and so we might believe in you. For many years and many Sundays, we have been listening to the truth. And as the last days of Jesus here, he exhorts, he confronts superficial faith. So God, I pray that we be solid rock standing you, that our faith will be in you, that we believe in your name and no other one. And God, I pray also that you give us clarity and knowledge as we want to see you and your fullness, experience your fullness. God, in Christ's name. Amen. So as you are open, as you are with the Bible open there in the chapter 21, you can see the headings of some paragraphs. And we see that chapter 21 starts with the triumph entry. We see later on that Jesus cleansed the temple and then he cursed the fig tree. And then the authorities of the Jews, the chief priests, the scribes, came to Jesus and asked him about what authority he does these things. So the main idea for this morning is Jesus exposes that he has all authority to forgive everyone who repents and believe that Jesus is the Son of God who takes away all of our sins or us. But first, we'll look at a few verses before we see the parables as we are studying. As they try to expose Jesus, they expose themselves. As the tension rises on these verses, we see that God is still merciful and graceful to all of them. So, point number one here, as we go through an exposition of this text, religious leaders try to expose Jesus. Verse 23 says, "And when they he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him, and he was teaching, and asked him, what authority do you do these things?" First, we have to know who has been asking this question. Who are these leaders? As we see there, the chief priests, and as the Gospels mentioned, the high office of the hierarchy of the priests of Levites. He was the chief priest who alone went to the most holy place of the temple once a year to make an atonement for the sins of the nation of Israel. The elders of the people, the person with great position, family, clan, or tribe, who were appointed or ordained to exercise leadership and some judicial functions, both to the religions and secular spheres. And then we have the scribes, as the other accounts mention, are a class of scholars who's supposed to teach the Bible, teach the book, interpret it to the Jewish laws. And getting all these three groups, we have the Sanhedrin, who are a group of members, 71 of them, located in Jerusalem, where they were, that worked as a supreme judicial council of the Jews. And they came to Jesus to expose Jesus. They made a question to Jesus so that they would trap Jesus to confess that he is God, that he is the Son of God, that he can forgive sins. They did that to discredit Jesus. They think that as custodians of the spiritual life of the nation, they had the right to ask questions. But as we see in the text, that we are amazed for 3 years, they seen the authority of Jesus. They heard and they were of people when the crowd were testifying of authority of Jesus. But on their ignorance, they missed the facts, the ministry, and all the evidence. As I titled this message, "The Danger of Superficial Faith," here's the group of people, religious people, that know the book, that know the tradition, that know what the commands of God says, but it still missed it out. As we see second here, that they tried to discredit Jesus, they tried to interrogate Jesus with that question. And as Jesus did not answer to them in kindness, we can see what led up to ask this question. You see that as Jesus' entry, triumphal entry of Jesus in verse 21, chapter 21, verse 1 through 11, the crowds are shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna is the Son of David. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The crowd is calling him a prophet. Verse 11. Right after that, Jesus goes to the temple. That's the next day. So this triumphal entry is a Monday. The Tuesday, Jesus cleansed the temple. And he says this, "My house should be called a house of prayer, but you make a den of robbers." And then after that, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. He also curses the fig tree. A fig tree where it was beautiful with great leaves, green leaves, but no fruit. And as Jesus is teaching, as we see in the parable later on, we see that the nation of Israel has not been bearing any fruit. So that's what led up to this question. It's interesting that they were not mad at people selling sacrificial animals for the offerings, or they were exchanging money and selling by a lot more than it was worth. But they were astonished that Jesus was doing that, and they were asking what authority. John writes down about Jesus' authority. As we see that John says in chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And all things were made by Him, and through Him, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And seeing His glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, He has authority to lay down His life. He has authority to raise it up. He had authority of His, as He teached. After the Sermon on the Mountain, the crowd saying, 'Who is he who teaches with great authority?' He healed the sick. He forgave sins. So what authority he had? In chapter 28 of Matthew, says that he has all authority in heaven and earth, and it was given by the Father. So Jesus has all authority over every single thing. And if you have eyes to see, you see the exposition of this authority. That Jesus has all authority to forgive sins, who everyone's to repent and believe. Jesus could say that, but instead he asked them a question. Jesus used their questions to place them closer to repentance, but their hearts were hardened. And the question was, the baptism of John, from where did he come from? From heaven or from the earth? So what Jesus is trying to do this? Jesus is trying to expose the religious leaders' hypocrisy before themselves. Verse 24 says, the question that Jesus did to them and asked them. And as they tried to expose Jesus, Jesus exposed the hypocrisy to themselves, but also before the whole crowd. As Jesus asked about the baptism of John, he is asking about the ministry of John, asking with all authority, John did what he did. And as the Isaiah talks about, he, John the Baptist, was a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way to the Lord. Make the straight the desert and highway for our God. And every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and every hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Because John was sent by God, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, Jesus Christ. And John's testimony bore witness about him, who ranks before him. And as verse 29 of John chapter 1 says, behold, as the second day is John sees him, as the next day is John sees him, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the joy of John the Baptist was complete as he saw Jesus and he bare witness about Jesus. So Jesus would increase and John would decrease. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, as Isaiah mentioned. And here is Passover week. A week where thousands, maybe millions of Jews would be at the temple or visiting the temple to receive instructions to sacrifice, to call on the name of the Lord. And Jesus is there teaching. But it's still, the religious people did not see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as we look to the text, as Jesus is waiting for the answer, as Joe McCart places on his study of this book, it seems like the Jewish leaders call it a huddle and say, hey guys, come here, come closer to me. Let's talk about the question that we would tell him. And he called them and say, hey, if we say from heaven, Jesus will tell us, why have you not believed it? And if we say from earth or from man, the crowd will be mad at us or will be indignant to us because John was a prophet. You see, they are wrestling with the truth. They are wrestling with pleasing God or pleasing men. And as they are wrestling with that, they already know the truth. But they deny the truth. Jesus calls the religion, caught the religious people on their own trap, exposing their sin, exposing their untruthfulness. Because they knew that John's ministry was from heaven. That John was a pointer to Jesus, to him who would come after him. But he has testified about Jesus and told everyone, repent and be baptized. And as the Jordan, and he was baptizing at Jordan, and many people were come to him. But they denied the truth. They chose the wrong to please God, a people, and not God. And that was the second option that they had it, that they come up with. They denied the truth and chose the wrong to please the crowd because they were afraid. They were afraid that the crowd might put them to death. Maybe they were afraid about their reputation, their authority over them, their influence among the public. But also that the people will know how corrupt their hearts were and how deep and hard stone their hearts were. So what can cause the people to deny God and some affirm God before the crowds? Well, let's see the story of the parable. Here's the story where Jesus teaches us and expose everyone about two ways, about two sons, a son who bears fruit and a son who does not bear fruit. But we all see, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we will see that Jesus has all authority to forgive sins to everyone who repents and believes that He is the Son of God. So let's go to the parable. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But after, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same thing. "Son, go to the vineyard today and work." Go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, "I'll go, sir," but did not go. And the question that Jesus did to all one here, everyone that was listening, which of the two did the will of the Father? We see that the man here, as Jesus describes in the story, it's the Lord, our Father. He used the story to connect truth, to expose our hearts, to confront us to know the way and the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is here is saying, go and work. We see that the vineyard is the nation of Israel. Psalm 80 says that God tells us about a vine that He took out of Egypt and planted in fertile soil. And Isaiah says that vineyard is the house of Israel. In Psalm 80, verse 19, Restore us, O Lord of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. So we see that the vineyard is the nation of Israel. In the story, we see the two sons now. The first son, we see that there is a change of ways, a change of mind, and he obeyed. And the first sons, we can identify as the tax collectors and the prostitutes in the story. And the second son is the religious people presenting the two classes. One who say no to God, but then went. And the other ones who say yes to God, but didn't go. Two classes of people. The sinners and the self-righteous. The publicans. And the ones that are trying to justify themselves. And the Father commands both of them the same. Go and work today. He gives the location. And the first son says, "I will not." But afterwards, he changed his mind and went. And here is the amazing grace of God in our lives. Some of us will say no to God for a short time. Others for a little while. Some a little longer. But when the truth, when the words of the Father penetrates our hearts, there will be change. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but it will be change. Because repentance leads us to a life changed. An incredible direction that was changed. 180, as we normally use the expression. From His will, the Son's will, to the Father's will, to the Son's way in saying no to the Father, to now saying yes to the Father and going and working. You see that the man here in the story, the father, goes to the son and calls his son, showing a great love for his son. And we know that the love of the father was demonstrated on the person of Jesus as he died on a cross to save us from our sins and united him, us, with the Father through him, who is our propitiation of our sins. We also see the love of the Father and give us commands to work, to obey. You see, at the garden, the Father has given commands, not because he was a tyrant, but because he loves. And somehow, at times, commands feels like something terribly bad that we now have to obey. But we see here in the first son, he went his own way, but then he reminded himself, or the words of the Father came to him afterwards, and he obeys. You see, the obedience comes after the change of heart. Because for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the and dividing the soul and spirit, the joints and marrows, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The words of the Father pierce through their heart and expose the intentions, the thoughts, the sins on their heart. And nothing was hidden. Keeping the words of the Father and the understanding of His will brought to the Son to see that with His obedience and honoring His Father was caused as a change of repentance heart in the Son's life. When he recognized and where he recognized his old ways, his will, his old will, his sins, his old state of living. But now, as he changed directions to obedience to the Father, by the love which the Father demonstrated and showed to him, he went and he worked. And as the verb says there, go and work. He kept going. He kept searching. He kept going to the Father. He kept going to the vineyard. He kept working. Because he believed. Which we once walked, follow the course of this world, follow the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of the disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, were by nature and children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loved us, and even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, made us alive together in Christ. By grace we have been saved, and raised us with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of the grace and the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by faith, for by grace, you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that you may be boast. You see that in the story, the son says, I will not, but after he changed his mind and went. That word, but, translates as the grace of God, the mercy of God, reaching out to the son's heart and change. So now the son repents, confesses their sins, and go to work. We have a second son in the story. A son that is very polite. A son who knows the father well. And that knows that the father wants to hear. So he says the right things. Knows the right things. And he will say, I will, sir. But did not go. See, the real confession is always followed by repentance or real change. Lip service. This only confession is not enough. Only saying vague words is not enough. As later on we'll see, you have to believe. You have to believe in the will of the Father. You have to believe that His ways is greater and higher than yours. That you are accountable to Him. You are made to please for His glory. So the second son did not believe, did not trust the words of the Father. He was very polite, saying what the Father wants to hear, but he did not obey. The second son showed no change of heart, no obedience that followed his confession. Just to illustrate this, we all once said to our parents what they want to hear, and we all lied to them in their faces, trying that we knew best. But we didn't realize at the time that our parents already knew it. And last night, I don't want you guys to go to my daughter and just tell her about this story, but I use this story not that you point her sins or her faults, because she could have pointed many from my to me too. So I go to her room. She's reading a book, and I ask Bella. Sorry, I shouldn't say the name. Well, but she reads, so I guess. I go to her, Isabel, what you reading? And she says, I'm reading just a book. And she loves Dr. Seuss, and I'm fine with some of them. Some of them are very hard for me to say the words. And my tongue is just so... sometimes it's so difficult to pronounce the words. But I go to her, Isabel, what are you reading? And she says, oh, just a book. And I ask her, Isabel, have you read at least one Bible story before you go to bed? And she said that I already did. And I said, Isabel, why are you lying? And she answers and says, Dad, I'm not lying. So I go again and say, Bella, you are. You see that many times you will go to the presence of the Father. knowing that what the Father wants to hear. But inside, there's no change. No change of behavior, no obedience, no faith, no belief. I told her, Isabel, I know that you were lying, but I want you to go back and read one story. And after that, I'll go back to your room and I will talk about the story that you learned. And she did. The parable here, Jesus does not want to condemn only, but he wants to expose the hypocrisy of our hearts. Two sons, same household, same father, two different response. As the father, as the son is telling the story about the father, he used this confrontation about which of the two did the will of the father. All of them in one voice says, the first one did the will of the Father. And here's the reply that Jesus told them. Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes or the harlots go in the kingdom of God before you. Because you know the truth, you know about the truth, you know about the Father, you know about His will, but you do not believe. But they did. They came to me with their sins because they were exposed by this light. And they did not deny their sins, but they repent, they confess their sins. And they believed, meaning that they trust the Father's will. That they trust the Father's plan. Verse 32. For John came to you in the way of righteousness. John came to a point about the righteousness. And there was no righteous man in that time better than John. But yet, he points the crowds, he points everyone that would come to him. It says, repent and be baptized, because the kingdom of God is at hand. There will be one who come and baptize with the Holy Spirit. I baptize with water. And after you knew John's ministry, John's way, to point to Christ, to declare that He is the Son of God, who takes away all the sins of the world. Verse 32 says, you did not believe. I know if you love the Lord, and I know that if you have people in your hearts, in your lives, that you are praying constantly about them, faith, to trust and believe in God. You mourn about their sins and you mourn about their ways because you know the Father's will and you know the Father's way. And you know that that way of living grieves the Father. And as you pray and intersect for them, you want them to believe. Because there's no other way to the Father. We have to go through the gate. We have to go through the door. That is Jesus. He is the true shepherd. The great high priest. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And his judgment is this: the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so it may be clearly seen what works has been carried out in God. The light will expose our sins. And Jesus is the only way to God. There's no other name. So they are confronted with this question. They're confronted with Jesus' truth. And as we see their sins, they should just confess their sins against the Father that they have been ignoring, that they've been suppressing. And they now would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, knowing that he's the only way to God. They didn't believe. You see that we can be sitting around comfy chairs. We can sit around this book Sunday after Sunday, but you still not believe. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. Acknowledge my sin to you, O Lord. Do not cover my iniquity. I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sins. As we confess to the Lord, we find a hiding place in him. You are my hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I'll counsel you with the eye upon you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all the upright heart. Jesus has all authority to forgive everyone who repents and believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who takes away. There are only two ways, two sons, as the story places: the repentant son and the unrepentant son. The one who believes and the one that does not believe. The forgiven sinner and the unforgiven sinner. The one has been washed. The one has still, the one is still unclean. Verse 32. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believed him. Verse 45. After those two parables, this parable, the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable. They perceived that he was speaking about them. Although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. As they heard the story, as they heard about Jesus' authority, as they heard about the way of righteousness, as they heard that they are saying the right words and not believing, they knew about who they were speaking, Jesus was speaking to. Because the word of God has confronted them. And their response is to arrest Jesus. In some accounts, as they were trying to find a way to kill him. As we finish, make it personal. John's ministry was repent and be baptized. Jesus ministers as he points to Jesus. Repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. In the story that we heard today, Jesus tells us about working today. And the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. We do not know tomorrow's. We do not know what is coming. So repent and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent about your old ways. Confess your the ways that you've been living. And turn to God. But also we have to look to our hearts and identify what son am I? The one that years passed and we say no to God, and or the sons that used to live in sin but now repent and believed, or we are the sons who says the right things but does not believe. Only two sons here representing all of us. The repentant son and the unrepentant son. We also have seen that as Jesus told them the story, they want the glory of the Father in the face of Jesus should be known to them, so they would trust and taste of this grace and this mercy and keep believing in Him and His ways. What areas of our lives are we wrestling with the truth of God? Are we wrestling with any truth? Are you obeying God? As you change directions, you're now placed under a work, obey, obedience. And if Jesus is God, and this is very personal, and if Jesus is God, the Son of God, who has authority over all things, why do we often drag our feet to do His will? See, by mercy and grace that we receive Him, there's nothing that we could boast, can boast. It's all about Him, it's all through Him, it's all for Him, it's all to His glory. And as you know this truth, you will look around the people that you do life with, and you will be burdened for them because you know that they are perishing, because you know that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You grant faith to believe in Your name. That You use Your truth to expose the sins of my heart. And I thank You that at a young age You saved me. God, I thank You that You also has been gracious to all of us here. That You protect our ways and that You design our ways. And we are thankful that at the time You came to us and through Your word pierce our hearts. That once our hearts stones, and You made hearts of flesh. God, it's through your gospel that you demonstrate your great love for us. We were dead in our sins in the past, but you made us alive together in Christ. And that we believe. God, as the last years we've been hearing Sunday after Sundays about your mercy and about your grace, we also hear and see the heart of the pastoral team in this church that they want that everyone believe. We want to be sure that we are believing the Son of God in ourselves. God, humble our hearts to tell us enough about playing religious games, enough about playing church games, but help our hearts to be sincere. Help us to be obedient. As the old people in this church, increase them, the ages and the years, so we might continue to hear from them your faithfulness about the ways that you have been caring for many years, your grace in their lives, that they might exhort the young people to live for you. I pray for the young people of this church, that they might trust and obey, but also that they know that you overcame death and sin, and that they have the power to do the same. And as the children hear and learn about you, I pray that you be gracious to them and that they might believe in you in early age, so they might be mighty used by you in their schools, in their Sunday schools, at their events, sports teams. Because as John points everything to you, God, we also ask you that you do the same. Use us, Lord. It's just by grace that you still find purpose in our lives for us. And God, I thank you for all the things in Christ's name. Amen.
If you guys want to stand with us, we're going to sing our new song again and just get to declare together another time that we believe, just dwell on that truth. So let's sing. Thank you.
One more time. This is the word of God in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption, for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glory and grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved One. He saved us. He made a way, as we sang, to His praise and His glory. Our Father, thank You for the truths that we just sang, that we declare to one another, that we believed, that we believe in Your name. There's no other name under heaven and earth than Your name, Christ. And as we go to our days, may we not forget about You, about the costly price that we might share. But also as we walk faithfully day by day, as we just sang on this song too, we are looking for that day, the day that we will see You face to face. And what a glorious day that would be. God, we rejoice that You are a God that keeps Your promise, a God that is faithful, and a God that will take Your church one day, as the day is at hand. God, as we go now with our days, help us to exhort one another, to encourage one another, but also to bear each other's burden as we talk to one another. God, I pray for this week that You might use our lives in a way that we will point to You, to Your glory, to Your praises. God, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our faith, and use Your word to bring us back to go and work to the Father, to this vineyard. In Christ's name, amen.